Right. If you go to some churches or talk to some people, PowerPoint should be coming up. If you go to some churches or talk to some people who follow Jesus, you can get a mistaken impression that somehow we don't do Christmas, or we don't like Christmas, or we're going to burst the bubble for you in some way. But I'm here this morning to say I really love Christmas, and I do Christmas. I like the whole present-giving thing. I like buying presents for people, as long as I know that it's something they're going to like. And I like receiving presents as well, the kind of opening of the wrapping paper and everything else to see what's inside. So I love the whole gift-giving idea and the whole gift-receiving idea of Christmas. I like the fact that our family gets together at Christmas. And I know in our Advent series, we've looked a bit at how stressful that can be sometimes. But for us, it's the one time in the year when all of our family gather together. And I love that stuff. But I also then get a bit emotional when I see things like the twinkly fairy lights. I do fairy lights in a big way. I love to see them twinkling against the darkness of a cold winter's night, if we're ever going to have a cold winter's night again. But to see them all twinkling there, and it kind of just makes you feel warm and get that lovely, lovely glow. I like the classic gold, green, and red colour scheme. I can't be doing with these Christmas trees that are white bare twigs and stuff like that. It's got to be a green Christmas tree and the red and the gold. I like it all. And I like the old school films. You can keep Elf and you can keep all that, I'm sorry, but you've got to go and watch White Christmas or Miracle on 34th Street or In It's a Wonderful Life. Those great black and white movies make me feel Christmassy. So I'd encourage you to go and do that stuff. But I particularly like that bit of Christmas that starts at around 5:30 on Christmas Eve. Around about 5:30 on Christmas Eve, in our house, is when the festive lasagna goes into the oven to be cooked. And then we all head off here for the carol service at 6:00. And then when we get back home, the festive lasagna is bubbling away with that lovely smell. And you stick a bit of holly on it, and you know that Christmas has come. And then you go through Christmas Day until about midnight. I love that time. It's kind of like if you go outside on Christmas Day and you just listen, it's like the whole world is holding its breath. It's like a big hush. The shops are closed. There's not a lot of traffic on the streets. It's brilliant. I particularly liked one Christmas, and you won't believe this, but it was true, that the clock struck midnight and we opened the door to release brother-in-law and mother-in-law into the rest of their life, and it started snowing. It was like God had arranged it all. I'm sure he didn't. But I love that bit of Christmas. So for a few hours every year, it's like we're living life inside a Christmas bauble. It's like we're in a giant bauble hanging from a tree, looking out on the world with a different look on life, that we see things through Christmas. It is like a great escape. For a few hours, normal life is suspended. And I know for some that Christmas is difficult, and this great escape doesn't match the picture that I just painted. And I know that for some, on Christmas Day, they will be working just like every other day. But for many of us, Christmas is totally different, and in a good way. But much as I like all this pretty Christmas stuff, there is more to Christmas than that. The carols tell a great story. They tell a great truth that we're proclaiming this morning. And as much as I love setting fire to the Christmas pudding and occasionally setting fire to the dining room carpet as a result, as much as I love pulling crackers and yet again I look down at my hand and I see this misshapen piece of red plastic that dares to call itself the truth fish as it curls up on my hand. And I think next year we've got to do the whole musical cracker thing. But as much as I then love struggling for ideas and answers in Trivial Pursuit, and I think to myself, right, I'm not going to play Boggle anymore because my daughter always wins. I'm not going to play Trivial Pursuit because I can't get any of the entertainment questions. Let's play something simple like dominoes. And then you're defeated again because you find out that Grandma somehow overnight has become some domino ninja wizard. How does she do it? I can't even win at dominoes. This is what Christmas is like in our house. But you don't have to scratch much beneath whatever your Christmas looks like to find a different reality. A reality where a small baby is born in a feeding trough in a stable. A reality where a small child was birthed in an unmarried mother. A reality where a small baby was hunted or tried to be hunted to his death by Herod. You've forgotten. Yes. A small baby who lived his life that was outside of the saccharine-coated reality that Christmas can sometimes be for us. A small baby who grew up and lived the kind of life that we live. He lived a life in the rough and tumble of the world of his day. He knew what it was like to walk on this earth and to have the same pressures and the same expectations as we face today. A small baby whose birth was announced by angels to poor shepherds with these words: "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And it's this baby who provides the true great escape for us at Christmas. Because this baby is none other than the Son of God who was born in that stable, who grew up in the world in which we live, who walked the life that we walk, who died and rose again to restore us to the relationship with his Father. Every single one of us in this building this morning, however long we've been at this trying to follow Jesus, or if we haven't yet made that decision, we all need to capture that heart of Christmas and place it right at the center of our heart. We need to have that restored relationship with God, because it is only through the price that Jesus paid through his death and his resurrection again that we can be truly free. And as a free people, we can enjoy that great escape and that new reality. It's like at Christmas, God is giving us all a free pass. The past is forgotten, and the future begins anew with that relationship. So there is nothing wrong in escaping into this bauble of alternative reality. Enjoy it. But let's remember that the true reality is that each one of us needs to be freed from our life chain to this earth to a new life and a new relationship with God. So this Christmas, give more than a passing thought to this. Let's make the heart of Christmas this message by taking it to our hearts.